Hello, thank you for joining the Camden First Assembly broadcast. We are so excited to share the Word of God with you today, believing that this Word is exactly what He has for your life. So, stay tuned for today's message, and as always, remember, there's a place for you at Camden First Assembly.
Matthew chapter 6, here we go. The Lord gave me this message a couple months ago, actually while Austin was preaching. I believe it was the message, Austin, that you were preaching about going through the process, about the processes of life, which isn't always a fun message because, you know, process, right? You know, we're going to be really excited about that beautiful Family Life Center when it's done, but the process right now is a mess. And, you know, if you walk over there even just to check the progress of where things are at and do that and come back into the building, you're dragging dirt with you. So, you know, it's a mess, and it's the same way in life. We celebrate the milestones, the victories. We celebrate the mountaintops, all those different things. But he was sharing several different passages of Scripture, several different things, and there's one that really convicted my heart, and I love this. It comes from Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse number 25. And I'm already messing the guys up in the booth because this is the last scripture, not the first one. But here we go. No one can, or it says, this is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? I love this. I love this revelation from Jesus. He says, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? No. And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies. Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat and what will we drink, what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring enough worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. Can I get an amen? Lord, we thank you for today, the day that you have made. We thank you again for your presence in this place, and we just invite you, Holy Spirit, to speak to our hearts and our lives. God, let our hearts be refreshed, our minds be renewed in you. Lord, as we receive the revelation, God, I pray that it would bring transformation to each and every one of us. Lord, you know exactly where we are. You know exactly what we're facing, exactly what we're going through, and so we surrender ourselves to you, and we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and have your way, Lord, in this house and in the places of all those that are joining us online. Lord, let us be believing believers. God, walking wholeheartedly, Lord, surrendered to you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to talk about believing believers this morning because I believe it's so critical to our lives as believers to believe. You with me? Tell your neighbor, you got to believe. If you don't believe, then you're going to miss out on the promise of eternal life. John 3:16 says, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 14, it says this, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am, and you know the way to where I'm going. No, we don't, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way? I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for these disciples that asked these questions that I would have asked. Can anyone relate to some of these? Like Thomas, like, I don't know, where are you going? We've been with you the whole time. What do you mean? You're leaving? You're going? What does that mean? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus replied, "I have been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Church, let me tell you, God has called you and I to be believing believers. He's called us to be believing believers not only for our own personal benefit, but for the purpose in which God has placed us on the earth and the purpose for which God has established us. Because he said, anyone who believes will do these same works and even greater works because I'm going to the Father. What's the purpose of the works that Jesus did? What's the purpose of the works that Jesus calls us to do? The purpose of the works that Jesus called us to, the purpose of the works, the even greater works that Jesus calls us to, is so that people will what? Be saved. Yeah, I'm looking for one word. So that people will what? Who said it? Somebody said it. Believe. Yeah, yeah. You with me? You with me now? So tell your neighbor, you got to believe. Nah, somebody's going to get excited in this place. I can feel it. Because what happens when you have a believing believer is there's a shift in how we respond and how we react to everyday life. When we live our lives as believing believers, there's a marked difference in how we live, how we respond, how we react, how we function in this world, because believing believers are no longer who they used to be. They're now children of God. Believing believers are no longer lost in sin and in the darkness and hopelessness of this world, but are now living in the light, living in the hope, living in the joy of the peace and the presence of God. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying believing believers pretend that everything's okay. Believing believers face hardships, difficulties, trials, setbacks, disappointments, and discouragements. But in all of those, when we face those, we respond differently because we believe. When we believe, there's a different approach, there's a different response in our life. So there are three things that I want to share with you this morning about believing believers. Three things that believing believers do that change, that affect the outcome of their life. So I'm going to ask Austin if he'll come up here and he'll help me. And I'm going to ask our new associate youth pastor if he'll come up here and help me. I asked Austin 2 weeks ago if he would get me a volunteer to help me with this. And he did. He had someone lined up to help me. And then the Lord went a different direction. And so then I asked him last week, I said, "Hey, will you get me a volunteer? I'm going to preach this message today." And he said, "Okay, we'll do that." And then the Lord went a different direction. And so then today, I didn't ask him, and we went this way. And so I asked him while he was playing the piano during offering, I said, "Did you get a volunteer?" And he said, "No." He said, "But I think JJ would be perfect." And I said, "I think so too." Have you ever done a trust fall?
Yes.
Okay, great. He said, I don't know if you could hear him. He said, "Yes." I sense hesitation. So there are three key elements to believing believers, and the first one is this: trust. Trust. Tell your neighbor, you have to trust. If you don't trust, yeah, I like how you preached that at him. What you didn't know is you're catching him. No, I'm just kidding. It's going to be the other way around. So the trusting part, if you don't trust, if I don't trust, we'll never believe. Right? Do you sit in a chair that you don't trust is going to hold you? I don't. I'm a big guy. If I look at a chair and I'm convinced that it doesn't have the support that's necessary, I'm not sitting down. I'm fine to stand. I have no problems. Not doing it. Why? Because I ain't getting picked up out of the floor, and I ain't having a piece of that chair in my backside. It's not happening, okay? Not doing it, all right? When it comes to our life and our walk with the Lord, if we're not trusting in the Lord, if we're not trusting in God, we're not believing in Him. The enemy fights you and I for our trust in the Lord because he knows that if we're trusting in Jesus, if we're trusting in God, if we're being obedient to what the Lord's told us to do, then we believe fully in him, then it opens the door for the God who makes impossible things possible to do things supernaturally to accomplish and fulfill his will, his plan, and his purposes. Look at that first verse of John 14. It says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me." So he says, don't fear, don't worry, trust in me. But I don't know about you, when it comes to trusting the Lord, it seems a lot of times like there are more obstacles. You know, JJ, you're going to represent all of us in the room, okay? All right? We meet Jesus, we fall in love with Jesus, we're saved, and it's a glorious thing, right? Whether you were saved in your bedroom, bathroom, the car driving down the road, at the altar in the church, that moment that you encountered the love of God and you experienced the love of God, it was glorious. There was a joy and a peace and an excitement and an anticipation like nothing else. And if you're anything like most of us, you're like, God, whatever you want, Jesus, I'm all in. Amen? You ever been there? You ever said that to the Lord? Been in church. It's been an awesome service. It's been incredible. Remember, we talked about last week about getting real, so I just want us to be real now. You ever make that declaration to the Lord? God, whatever you want, I'm in. I'm all in. Yeah. Okay. All right, two hands. They didn't cooperate. So that's okay. No, we have those moments, right? And it's that moment that we're all in with the Lord. But then we begin this journey with God. We begin this journey with Jesus where the rubber meets the road, where we all of a sudden have to begin to experience and begin to encounter what it means to believe that God is who he says he is and that he's called us and he's challenged us to do the things that he's called us to do. And really, it's like a trust fall. Because it's the moment in our lives where we surrender everything to God and we just begin to fall. I wasn't really falling, no. I don't, no. So, I don't trust me. It's not you, it's me. You ever had that conversation with the Lord? God, it's not you, it's me, Lord, I promise. And the Lord's like, I know it's you, and I'm going to help you get over that so that you can believe that I am who I say I am and I'll do what I'll do. So, you know, when it comes to that initial excitement with Jesus, we're like, yeah, I can trust the Lord. I put all my trust in him. I've got all the worries and everything, you know, all worked out, and there's no problems, there's no difficulties. But this is what it's like with Jesus. Can you put this blindfold on? Yeah. I'm gonna let you do it. It came from kids' church, so if there's anything wrong with it, you can take it up with Brandy in staff meeting tomorrow. This is what it's like with the Lord, and some of you are going to be like, I have felt that way so many times. So when we say yes to following Jesus, we can't see him, right? We can't see Jesus. We can't always hear or fully understand what is taking place or what's happening. But when we put our trust in the Lord, God calls us to trust that he's going to catch us. Now I picked Austin to catch you, JJ. Because he's going to be behind you. Yeah, you feel that way. Did you hear what he said? Where's he at? You ever felt that way? Where's Jesus? Jesus, you said you never leave me and you never forsake me. Where you at? Because right now I feel like I'm about to fall on this concrete floor and it's about to be a mess. So, Austin, will you move behind him? And so he's...
Yeah, I'm behind you.
Stop that. Okay, So this is what it's like when we're believing in who Jesus is and what he's established. We can sense the presence of God. At times we can hear his voice. There are different ways that God communicates and shows us things through his word and the revelations and the things that he's given us. But when it comes to being the believing believers that God has called us to be as the church and what we desperately need in our world today, amen? What we desperately need in our world today, it's putting all of our trust in God. And it's coming to that point, and it's coming to that moment of saying, Lord, I completely trust you, and I believe. So JJ represents all of us. I'm sorry. I'm scared him to death. I'm sorry. Austin represents, I felt that way too on my walk with the Lord. What's that? And then I felt that way 3 months ago. And then Austin is going to represent Jesus. So there's so many times that we're walking in life that we feel like we can't see what the next thing is. But when we make the declaration, Lord, I put all of my trust in you, even when I can't see what the next step is, amen, even when I have no idea what's coming next, I believe in you. Okay, so JJ, I just want you to fall.
Straight back.
straight back. No, see, did you see what he did? Thank you for doing that. Thank you for doing that. I scared him again. So the reality is that we do the same thing that JJ just did. Okay, did you see when I said fall straight back and he turned to look back? Except he couldn't see anything because he had a blindfold on. A lot of times in our walk and our journey with the Lord says, this is what I want you to do. And you know what we do? Okay. Okay. But guess what? We can't see what God has put. Oh, I love this. We can't see what God's put in place. We can't see how God's working. We can't see how God's moving because the Lord works and he moves according to his will, according to his plan to fulfill what he has already planned and what he has already purposed to accomplish in our lives. So though our flesh, though our natural reaction is to look back and say, okay, Lord, do you have me? To ask the Lord, God, where are you? Lord, where is that confirmation? Where is that assurance? And in those moments, in the moments that we begin to look back, in the moments that we begin to ask, the moments that we begin to question, if we're not careful, doubt and fear will begin to set into our hearts and will captivate us to a point of not responding in obedience to what the Lord's saying when he says, trust me. But to standing still until we feel like we can see, until we feel like we can, until we can have some kind of assurance that he's actually there. JJ, how bad do you want to pull that blindfold up and just look to make sure Austin's behind you?
Really bad.
Yeah. I have felt that way so many times. I fasted and prayed at times and asked the Lord to give me that confirmation, but sometimes it doesn't come. Think about it. Let's go back in the Word of God. Abraham, God called him to leave the place that he was at, to follow him to the place where God was calling him to go, but God didn't tell him where it was. He just had to follow. God gave Joseph a dream, but he didn't tell him what was going to happen in order for the dream to be fulfilled. But he had to decide whether or not he trusted in the Lord and would continue to honor the word of God and continue to submit to what God had stated and what God had said. Again and again throughout the word of God, from the Old Testament in the very beginning all the way through to present day in the church and the body of Christ, God is calling us as his people to step out in faith, to step out in obedience, to step out in the trust of what he's called us to. Why? Because when we step out in obedience and we step out in faith, what happens? God begins to move. God is not looking for people who have it all together, who have it all figured out, who know what the next step is. God is looking for people who say, Lord, here I am, send me. God, here I am, I trust in you. God, here I am, I believe that you are who you say you are. So JJ, I just want you to fall straight back. All right, you ready? 3, 2, 1, go. Perfect. Beautiful. Excellent job. Would you give it up for these guys? JJ, you did what I couldn't do. No, I'm just kidding. I trust Austin. That's why I had him catch you. So I didn't trust me to catch you, and that's why I didn't catch you. When it comes to doing what the Lord has called us to do, when it comes to being obedient to what God calls us to, it's a matter of putting our trust in the Lord. It's a matter of surrendering complete trust to what his will and what his word says. I love this in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12. Paul writes, that is why I am suffering here in prison, but I'm not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust. I know the one in whom I trust. And I am sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return. Something powerful happens in our lives. Something powerful happens in our hearts when we firmly place our trust in Jesus. If we don't have trust in the Lord, then we'll never have the second element of believing believers that's so essential and so crucial, which is faith. Faith. Tell your neighbor, you've got to have faith. I like it. I like the little twist you put on it. Sounds just like your dad. Tell your neighbor, you got to have faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1 tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Or in the New Living Translation, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things that we cannot see. We can't have faith if we don't trust. If I don't trust in the Lord, I won't ever have the faith to walk according to the way that God has called me to walk or to do the things that God has called me to do. If I'm not living by faith, if I'm not trusting in the Lord, then I'm not believing that Jesus is who he says he is and that God would do what he said he would do. Pastor, that sounds really, really harsh. I didn't write it. I didn't say it. The Lord did. Why? Because he's calling you and I to a personal place with him of saying, I've called you out of darkness into light to believe that I am who I say I am and that you can trust me. And not only can you trust me, but you can live by faith. That even while you can't always see me working and you can't always see me moving and you can't always see me doing, I'm always working, always moving, always doing to accomplish and fulfill my word and the plan and the purpose and the promises for which I established it. Because the word of God never returns void. So again and again and again, we see where God said and then God did. God said and then God did. Not just with the creation of the world, but with the fulfillment of redeeming the world. God said it and then he did it. Our problem is that God doesn't work on our time frame. Doesn't it make your flesh mad? It's like, Lord, we talked about this. And the Lord says, yeah, I know. You ever had that person that they operate on a different time than you? Yeah, they're just on a whole different, their world just runs on a different clock. You know? Let me ask this question. Maybe this is a better question. Do you have those friends that when you get together, you tell them what time you're getting together, but that's not really the time that you're getting together? Because if you tell them the time that you're actually expected to be at the restaurant or the family gathering or the meeting, they're not going to be there. Some of y'all are looking at each other. You're like, yeah, you the friend. Yeah, I have friends like that. I'm like, okay, so we're going to be done. We're going to meet for lunch. A good time to meet for lunch would be 11:30. So let's tell them 10:30. You ever had those friends? Some of you are looking at me like, I don't know what you're talking about. You're the friend. I'm just kidding. You have friends that are always on time. That's all I can say. I say that because when it comes to the timing that God has, his timing is not our timing. God's timing is not our timing. So for those of you that feel like your pastor attacked you this morning, hang with me for just a moment, okay? The Lord works to order the steps of his people. And God moves and he works. The word tells us that he works and he moves according to his will, according to his plan. God's plan, God's will, his timing is always perfect. It doesn't always make sense, but it's always perfect. It's what I loved about the song that we sang this morning, the second verse. I'm going to get the songs in the right order this Sunday. The second song, the second verse, where it talks about, I have joy in chaos, and I have peace that makes no sense. Why? Because I'm a believing believer. Because even though all of this around me is chaos, I've got joy. Because my joy doesn't come from the world, and it doesn't come from my temporal circumstances or my temporal situations. My joy comes from the Lord. Why? Because he has saved me, and he has redeemed me, and he's called me his own. He's chosen me, and in what he has called and what he has chosen me for, God has established me to preach the good news to the world, to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this world today. So I get to be a part of seeing his kingdom come, of seeing his will be done, of seeing the Lord work and move in people's lives. And so when I trust in the Lord, when I have my faith and my confidence in him, when I establish what the Lord has purposed and what God has planned, it changes how I respond, it changes how I react, because I understand that God's timing is perfect. So I've got joy and I've got peace. I've got peace because Jesus told me, my peace I leave with you. It's not a peace that the world can give. It's a peace that will guard your heart and will guard your mind in Christ Jesus. So I pray that regularly over us as a church. I pray it regularly over my own life. God, I'm walking in the peace that you've given me, because here's what faith does. Here's what faith does. Faith looks at my current circumstance and my current situation and tells me it's not what it looks like. Amen. Come on. See, the Lord is calling us as his church and as believing believers to look at what the world sees, to look at what we're faced with, to look at the obstacles and the challenges and the difficulties that are before us and see what's there. I'm not saying pretend that it's not there. I'm not saying pretend that the problems, that the situations, that the circumstances don't exist. But what I am saying is that while I see this, the Spirit of God within me that has been placed by the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the same God that the world cannot see but is always doing something miraculous and something supernatural within me, is telling me that while it may look like this, do this instead, trust in me, believe in what I've said, step in obedience to what I've called you to do, and watch, because I'm going to turn this thing around. I'm going to begin to work and do things in ways that the world doesn't understand. So while my mind can't fully comprehend what it is that God may be intending to do and what God may be intending to purpose, because his word says that his ways are higher, that his thoughts are higher, that they're not our own, what happens when I put my trust in the Lord and I begin to respond in faith to what God has said is that I find my confidence in Jesus. I find my confidence in what God has said, and I respond in obedience, trusting the end result to the Lord. So when I put my trust in the Lord and I take my problem and I take the situation and I take the circumstance that I have and I place it in the hands of Jesus and I say, Lord, I trust you. I'm now living by faith because I'm a believing believer, because I believe that Jesus is who he says he is and that he'd do what he said he would do. So now all of a sudden there's been a shift and there's been a change in my way of thinking. And though the world may be falling apart around me and though my life may be turned upside down by my own flesh's standards, by my own world standards, what I know to be true is that the same God that called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the same God who brought the Israelites out of Egypt into the promised land, the same God who made a way in the wilderness, who provided manna from heaven, who fought off armies that were far larger, far greater, far more equipped of his people in the Old Testament, is the same God today who has called me out of darkness and into light and has called me to speak to the giants that I'm facing and declare that you have defied the Lord, you have defied God's people, you have defied what the word of God says. So I'm going to pray differently. I'm not going to pray as if I'm overwhelmed to the point of not seeing any kind of breakthrough. I'm going to pray with a confidence because I know that the battle is already won, that victory has already been established, because my king was crucified, but 3 days later he got up out of the grave. He conquered death, hell, and the grave, and he walks in victory. In fact, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, who is God, creator of heaven and earth, and he's interceding on my behalf. So yeah, this may be a mess and this may be a problem. I don't know who I'm talking to today. I don't know who this word is for today, but God was waiting on you because he wouldn't let me preach it the last 2 weeks. Because I'm here to tell you that what the world has said, what your own mind has told you, what the enemy has lied to you about, God is here to tell you, God is here to remind you today that with God, all things are possible, and he'll take whatever mess and whatever difficulty and whatever situation that you're going through, and he will turn it and use it for his glory. He will redeem it and he will renew it if you will believe that he is who he says he is, if you will trust him, if you will have faith in him, if you will respond in obedience to what God has said, because God is shifting, turning things around. There's a shift that's happening right now. Can you feel it? And your spirit, can you feel it? There's a shift that's happening right now. And the shift is that God is calling believers to stand, who trust and have faith and respond in obedience to what God says and are taking steps of faith, not because it makes sense, but because God said, do it. When God says, do it right away. When God tells you to do something, when God puts something on your heart, do not delay. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. Why? Because when you and I respond in immediate obedience to what God has called us to and what God has established for us as his people, there is a shift and there is a breakthrough that begins to happen. There's an immediate breakthrough that begins to take place, and we begin to experience heaven on earth in our lives in a way like never before. So as believing believers, we have to have faith in what God has said. I want to say this too. Don't let the enemy and don't let your past disqualify you from the present and the future that God has for you. The devil is a liar. I said the devil is a liar. You have been called by God and you have been chosen. Your identity is not found in your past. It's not even found in your present. It's found in your future, because as a child of God, you have been called and have been given the gift of eternal life. So you're not even living for this world anymore. You're living for eternity with Him. And the enemy, this is how he works. This is why Paul said what he did in Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. There is now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why? Because the blood of Christ washes away my sins. Well, Pastor, you don't understand my past. You don't understand what I've done. You don't understand what I've said. You don't understand the things that I've been through. Friends, I'm here to tell you today, I don't, but Jesus does. And He still chose you. He still called you. He still loved you and loves you, because He has purposed a new life for you, one that is free from the lies of the enemy, one that is free from the assaults of the attempts of the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy in your life. And He has given you a new name. Well, I feel like preaching this morning. I love this. Hebrews 11, verse number 2. This is, through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. Through their faith. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. That what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed His approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, He still speaks to us by His example of faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. How would you like to be on a walk with the Lord, and He just looks at you one day and says, I don't think you need to go back home. Just come on to heaven with me today. Some of y'all don't look too sure. You're like, what? That's it. Enoch was there one day, and he went on a walk with the Lord, and he didn't come back. How cool is that? I think it's awesome. He says this, for he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. What we're doing tonight when we come into this place at 6, we're coming to seek Him, sincerely seek Him. Why? Because we believe that He is who He says He is. And you know what He does? He rewards those who sincerely or diligently seek Him. Verse 7, it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. Think about Noah for just a moment. It took him decades to build that boat. God said, build a boat, and he starts building. And everyone looks at him and goes, he has lost his mind. I'm just telling you, there's going to be times, there's going to be moments in our walk, in our journey with the Lord, that God calls us to do something, and it doesn't make sense. In fact, there's going to be a lot of times. If you're a believing believer, there's going to be a lot of times that God's going to call you to do things, and people are going to look at you, and they're going to say, that doesn't make any sense. I'll never forget someone one time told me, they said, why do you give your tithes to the church? Why do you tithe? That's 10% of your income. That's a pretty significant chunk, Connor. Do you know what you can do with 10% of your income, especially as you get into the marketplace, as you get out in life and you're able to do that? It's crazy. It's crazy. You shouldn't give that much. Give some, but don't give that much. I looked at him and I said, I'm sorry. I can't do that. I wasn't rude. I wasn't ugly. And I wasn't disrespectful. We don't have to be rude, ugly, or disrespectful. We shouldn't be rude, ugly, or disrespectful. That's not what Jesus has called us to. We should walk in love. But what I did say was, the word is clear. God's word is clear, and His promises are clear, and He's made that revelation clear to me. So I have to respond in obedience to what I know the Lord's told me to do. I'm not saying that it's what you have to do. I'm saying it's what God's told me to do. So I've got to respond in obedience to what God said. So it may seem crazy and it may not make sense to you, but the blessings of God and the favor of God and the goodness of God are just too great in my life because I've seen His word in action. I'll never forget in my teenage years working and paying tithes and giving and watching how the Lord would bless, even in little ways. I remember when I first moved to Camden and I would go back to Jonesboro, my halfway point at that time was the Starbucks in Jacksonville. Thank you, Jesus, for coffee. How many coffee lovers do I have here this morning? Oh, the precious saints of God. They're in the house. Hallelujah. If you don't love coffee, it's fine. The Lord will change your taste buds when your body is gloriously transformed at the time that the trumpet sounds or that you pass from this life into eternity. And when you get to heaven, you'll drink of the heavenly cup that God has established for the world. That's not in the Bible. All right. I'm sorry, Lord. I got carried away. All right. So back to what we're talking about. So that was my halfway point. So when I would get done at work here at the church on Thursdays, I would leave and I would head up to Jonesboro to see Mom and Dad and Haley and then Austin as they got married. Huh? All my friends. Yeah, my family was a little bitter about that. And so I would go up and I'd see everybody. And I would stop. My halfway point was Jacksonville, and I'm one of those people, and all my planners in the room, you understand, we got to get there. So there were no stops in between. We stop in Jacksonville, we use the restroom, we get a cup of coffee and a water, we get back on the road, and we go to our destination, and we don't make any other stops. We don't have time for stops. That's not the plan. This isn't a shopping trip. This is to go see family and friends. So anyways, so I would go in, and I love this. I'm sharing this because I would love this, because I can't tell you the number of times that I would go in there and I would stop to get a cup of coffee and I wouldn't pay a penny for it. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to Starbucks, but it's not necessarily cheap. I lived off of a lot of gift cards. That's what I got for birthdays, and that's what I got for Christmas. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord will make a way where there seems to be no way. But there were a lot of times that I would go in there and I would ask for a cup of coffee. I would get a cup of coffee and the person would tell me, no charge, it's on us tonight. Or it's on us today. And I remember sharing this story, and one time, you know, my mom was like, how many times does that happen? I said, it happens a lot. But the reason for that wasn't because I'm just some lucky person and I walked in at the right time. The reason for that was because when we're obedient to give what the Lord tells us to give and to go when the Lord tells us to go and to do when the Lord tells us to do, the favor of the Lord rests upon your life. And the Lord blesses you in unexpected ways. And you say, well, Pastor, I just don't know about that. Listen, if you spend any time walking with Jesus and you spend any time being obedient to what God said and you've given not out of guilt or condemnation or pressure but out of obedience to what the Lord said, you know what I'm talking about. Because the Lord has worked miraculously in situations and circumstances of your life and has blessed and has poured out his blessings and has poured out your favor in your life. It's the same thing that happened. Noah knew the Lord and he believed that God was who he said he was and he trusted the Lord. And so by faith, he responded in obedience and he built the ark. Boy, when those first few drops of rain started falling from heaven, do you know how excited he must have been on the inside? I don't know about you, but I'd have been jumping up and down. I'd have been like, thank God I built the boat. Thank God I built the boat. And at the same time, I'm sure his heart was grieved because of those who didn't believe. Because of those who didn't believe. And this is the reason why God has called us as his church to share the good news with the world around us. Because there are so many who don't believe, who don't yet know, who haven't experienced the love and the peace and the joy and the freedom and the hope that heaven has to offer, that Jesus intends, that God provides. The entire chapter 11 of Hebrews is full of those who responded in obedience to what God said, who responded in obedience to what the Lord had called them to, because they were living by faith. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed God when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was a foreigner living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. We too are foreigners living in tents. This is not our forever home, but God has established one for us in heaven. So we live today by faith. We live tomorrow by faith. We live this life daily by faith because we know that this is not forever. Come on, somebody. This is not forever. Tell your neighbor it's not forever. No. Y'all are hungry and you've quit preaching with me. Y'all are hungry and you quit preaching with me. Tell your neighbor, it's not forever. Somebody needs to get that in your spirit this morning. This is not forever. This is not forever. This present situation, this present circumstance, this present thing that we're dealing with, this isn't forever. It has felt like forever. Do you know how many days Noah must have thought, maybe these people in town are right. Maybe they're right. Maybe I am crazy. Maybe I am. You ever felt that way following Jesus? Mm-hmm. All the believing believers in the room shaking your head, yes, yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right? Because there are moments and there are times where our flesh contradicts what the Spirit of God has said to us, but because we believe what the Lord said and our trust is in Him and our faith is in Him, we're responding in obedience to what God said. I know there had to be times in those years that Noah was building that boat, in those years that Abraham was living as a foreigner in the land that God had said, this is yours. This is the inheritance. This is the future of what I've established. That he had to think, am I crazy? Why? Because the enemy does not want you and I to believe that God is who he says he is and that he'd do what he said he would do. But there's something powerful that happens when believing believers stand firm on that foundation that God has called us to and say, I refuse to believe anything else other than the name of Jesus and the fulfillment of his word and his plan and his promise and his purpose in my life. I'm going to continue to trust in him. I'm going to continue to obey him because I'm living my life by faith. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed. Hey, listen, I want to talk to all the old people in the room. Some of y'all are like, Pastor, I got to talk to you. You said I could come talk to you anytime. You call me old, we're going to talk. I need to talk to all the old people in the room. There is no retirement in the kingdom of God. There is no retirement in the kingdom of God. We spend so much of our life worried about retirement, but there is no retirement in the kingdom of God. As a preacher, as a pastor, you don't retire. The Lord may change your assignment. You may not be in a full-time ministry position, but you're never dismissed from the call until he calls you home. Your responsibility is there. But I got news for you. All of us are ministers of the gospel. And there is no retirement this side of eternity. As long as there is breath in your lungs, you and I have been commissioned and we have been called to share the gospel. And we have to tell people about Jesus. So back to the old people in the room. And some of you are like, I don't know who you're talking to because I'm not old. And I say, good for you. But don't ever let the devil tell you that you're too old to do extraordinary things for the kingdom of God. You are never too old and you are never too young to say yes to Jesus and to be obedient to what God said. You are never too young and you are never too old. I want to serve God as long as I can. With everything that I have, in whatever ways that he has available for me, I want to serve him. I want to serve in his church. I want to serve in his house. I want to be a part of what God's doing. I don't want to miss for a single moment what heaven has to offer. Sarah and Abraham, God tells them what's going to happen, and we know how the story goes. They laugh. Right? Because our flesh says that's impossible. Sarah says, I'm too old. But what happens? God gives her a son. And he fulfills his promise. Why? Because nothing is impossible with God. Friends, if God is telling you and I to do something, if God is challenging us to do something, then we have to respond in obedience to what he said. He goes on in this. He says, and so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead. A nation with so many people that like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there is no way to count them. All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. I don't have time to read the rest of this, but I challenge you to go home and read the rest of Hebrews chapter 11 because I believe it'll challenge and refresh your heart. I believe it will remind you of why we are believing believers and doing what God has called us to do and establishing his plan and his promise. Friends, We are not living for what this world has to offer. We're not living for what this world can even begin to compare, can begin to have. We're believing believers because our trust is in the Lord, our faith is in Him, and we're responding in obedience to what He said. That is why, and I love those last few verses I just read, that is why when disappointment comes and discouragement comes, we cannot take our trust out of the Lord's hands. We cannot take our faith out of being placed in the Lord Himself. Because here's the deal, disappointment will come. Discouragement will come. Trials and tribulations will come. And those are the enemy's tools in those moments to try to discourage, to bring doubt, to bring fear, to bring disbelief to our hearts so that we will stop believing in God and that we will walk away from what God has said and what God has promised. But I love those last few verses. They believed, they died still believing what God had promised them. And guess what? They've received the full inheritance and the full reward and have gotten to see what the result of their obedience, their simple acts of obedience were to the Lord. They got to experience the fulfillment of God's plan and God's promise. When we have faith in the Lord, we get to watch as God breaks the tools of the enemy through discouragement, through doubt, and through disappointment. When we trust in the Lord, the threats to faith are defeated. When the storms of life come and when the trials come, and that's, I love that song that Cody Carnes wrote about, and that second song that we sang today about our firm foundation that's in Christ. When our confidence and our trust is in the Lord, the storms come, the trials come, the pain comes, but we take it all to Jesus. We take it all to Jesus. Why? Because it doesn't change the fact that He's still my Savior. He's still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the Creator of heaven and earth. He's the author and the perfecter of my faith. He has started a good work in me, and He will carry it on to completion. He never leaves me, and He never forsakes me. He's with me even in the valley of the shadow of death, so I will fear no evil. His goodness and His mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And in those moments when I am faced with the greatest pain and the greatest disappointment and the greatest discouragement that my faith could ever experience, that I could ever encounter, it's in those moments that I begin to encourage myself in the Lord. It's those moments that I begin to remember what His Word says that never fails and that never returns void. And it's the moment that I begin to lift my voice in praise, because every believing believer walks in confidence. I want the team to come. Tell your neighbor, you got to have confidence. I love this. I love this. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15, it says, "And we are confident that He hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases Him. And since we know He hears us when we make our requests, we also know that He will give us what we ask for." It goes back to what Jesus said in John chapter 14. When you and I pray and we ask, when we believe that God is who He says He is, that Jesus is who He says He is, that those prayers are powerful and effective, that they are accomplishing the will of God and the perfect things that God has established, it changes how we believe, how we pray, because we're no longer praying with a sense of, well, I hope it happens. We're praying with a sense of faith and knowing that according to God's will, according to God's plan, according to God's purpose, it will happen. No. You don't understand what I'm saying. I said when we believe that God is who He says He is, and we trust in the Lord, and our faith is in Him, it changes the way that we pray, because now we're confident. Don't you love it when you can be confident about something? Don't you love it when you can be confident about something? It's one of those things of it's like going to a new place. And you go and you're trying to figure it all out, and you're trying to figure out where you're supposed to be and how to get there and all these different things. It's like going to Disney World or the hospital, either one. If they're big enough, you're like, where am I supposed to go? How am I supposed to get there? But when you've been a few times, you don't really need that map anymore. You know, I've been to the Magic Kingdom so many times, I can take you around to all the rides. I don't need the map. I don't need it, because I've been there. Taking youth students, gone on youth trips, gone down there. And it was a blast to be able to go and not feel like I was lost in this big park, but I was able to take these students some of them who'd never been out of the state of Arkansas. And I was able to take them to this place, and it was great to watch their reactions. Teenagers, I loved it. One of my favorite trips, we took our students down there. And I'll never forget, I told them, I said, we paid so much money to be here, and your church family and your parents and everyone paid so much money for you to be here. We'll be here from the time the park opens until it closes. Stay hydrated. Cost too much money. You'll be here. And I'll never forget, towards the end of the day, I had several of them that came to me and they said, we got to go. Connor, we got to go. We're done. We've seen all that Disney World has to offer. And I said, no, you haven't. Have the fireworks gone off? They said, no. I said, then you're not done. So they got me all the way to the gate at the front. If you've ever been to Disney World, you've ever been to the Magic Kingdom, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We're at the gate. We're right there. Because as soon as it's done, they want to get on that train and go back to the van so that we can go home. They were like, we've got a nice house with a pool. I was like, that was cheaper than Disney World. We could have stayed there all day long. But y'all wanted to come. So here we are. We're staying. And they were mad, most of them. Huffing and puffing like we all do as teenagers when we don't get our way. And I will never forget that night the parade started. They did a light up parade and all the characters came out. And I saw these kids, boys and girls alike, scream like little children with excitement and anticipation. And they had the best time at the end of the night. The best time. And I got all the money's worth that we had that day before we left. And I was so thrilled. But some of the most exciting reactions and some of the most exciting moments came from persevering. It came from, okay, I'm tired and I'm exhausted and I'm done and I want to go because that's what my body says. That's where I'm at. And I use that illustration because there's so many times in life that we face things and we're done. We reach that done moment. We reach that done point. We're like, Lord, I've prayed, I've fasted, I've been obedient, I've walked this road, Lord, I'm done. Jesus, I'm tired. I'm tired. And God says, stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. Don't give up. Don't leave now. Don't walk away. Don't run. Stay right here in my presence. Because the best is yet to come. And if you'll trust me and you'll stay with me, you'll experience things that you have never before in your life experienced because of who I am and what I have planned and what I have purposed for your life. That's the God that we serve. And man, the confidence of knowing that that's who he is changes the way that we pray. And it changes the way that we live, and it changes the way that we respond. Because in those dark moments, in those hard moments, in those challenging moments, we once again recommit our trust to the Lord, our faith in our God, our confidence in him. Stand with me all over this room, if you will. I love this in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 through 39. It says, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love, no power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing. There's no power, there's no force, there's no might, there's nothing. And I go back to our original text that we opened with this morning in Matthew chapter 6. When Jesus says in verse number 26 and 27, the questions that he asks about worrying about our life and the benefits that they have. And he goes down towards the end of what he's sharing with the disciples and those that are gathered around him. And he says, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. And Austin shared that verse. He shared it from the New Living Translation. And I had never read that verse in the New Living Translation. And I just felt the Holy Spirit just quicken my heart in that moment. And I thought, man, that's exactly how the enemy gets me. I felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord asked me, he said, what's dominating your thoughts? What's dominating your mind? Do you believe that I am who I say I am? Do you believe that I'll do what I said I would do? Then why allow these things to dominate your mind? Let the words that I have spoken and my word to you dominate your mind. What's Psalm chapter 1 tell us? That those who meditate on the word of God, both day and night, what happens? They're like mighty oaks that are planted by the streams of living water that bear their fruit in season. Why? Because when our minds are not fixed on our worries and our problems, but they're fixed on the Lord, it's the moment that we've put our trust, we've put our faith, we've put our confidence in the Lord. And guess what? He never fails.